Chapter 4. You're in the jet set now. My checkout is ever so slightly delayed. I spend about 8 hours at the nearest police station being questioned by one GSA desk pilot after another. At first, I think they're going to arrest me. Shoot the messenger is a well-known parlor game in spook circles. But after a few fraught hours, there's a change in the tone of the interrogation. Someone higher up has obviously got a handle on events and is smoothing my path. "It is best for you to leave the country tomorrow," says Gerhard from Frankfurt, not smiling. "Later we will have questions, but not now." He shakes his head. "If you should happen to see Ms. Random, please explain that we have questions for her also." A taciturn cop drives me back to the hotel, where a GSA cleaning team has replaced the conference room door with a blank stretch of brand new wall. I walk past it without quite losing my shit, then retreat to my shielded bedroom and spend a sleepless night trying to second-guess myself. But not only is the past another country, it's one that doesn't issue visas, and so, first thing in the morning, I head downstairs to collect the hire car. A tech support nightmare is waiting for me down in the garage. Pinky is goose-stepping around with a clipboard, trying to look officious, while Brains is elbow-deep in the trunk with a circuit tester and a roll of gaffer tape. "What the fuck?" I manage to say, then lean against a concrete pillar.
"We've been modifying this smart car for you," Pinky says excitedly. "You need to know how to use all its special features."
I rub my eyes in disbelief. "Listen, guys, I've been attacked by brain-eating zombies, and I'm due on a flight to St. Martin tonight. This isn't the right time to show me your toys. I just want to get home." "Impossible," Brains mutters around a mouthful of oily bolts that look suspiciously as if they've just come out of the engine manifold.
"Angleton told us not to let you go until you finish your briefing," Pinky exclaims.
There's no escape. "Okay," I yawn. "You just put those bolts back and I'll be going."
"Look, in the boot here. What our American friends would call the trunk. Careful, mind that pipe." "Good. Now, pay attention, Bob. We've added a Bluetooth host under the driver's seat and a repurposed personal video player running Linux. Peripheral screens at all 5 cardinal points, 5 grams of graveyard dust mixed with oil of bergamot and tongue of newt in the cigarette lighter socket, and a fully connected D. Hamilton circuit glued to the underside of the body shell. As long as the ignition is running, you're safe from possession attempts. If you need to dispose of a zombie in the passenger seat, just punch in the lighter button and wait for the magic smoke. You've got a mobile phone, yes? With Bluetooth and a Java sandbox? Great. I'll email you an applet. Run it, pair your phone with the car's hub, and all you have to do is dial 666 and the car will come to you wherever you are. There's another applet to remotely trigger all the car's countermeasures just in case someone sneaked a surprise into it."
I shake my head, but it won't stop spinning. Zombie smoke in the lighter socket, a D. Hamilton circuit in the body shell, and the car comes when I summon it. Okay. "Hey, what's..." He slaps my hand as I reach for the boxy lump fastened to the gear shift with duct tape.
"Don't touch that button, Bob."
"Why? What happens if I touch that button, Pinky?"
"The car ejects."
"Don't you mean the passenger seat ejects?" I ask sarcastically. I've had just about enough of this nonsense.
"No, Bob. You've been watching too many movies. The car ejects."
He reaches across the back of my seat and pats the fat pipe occupying the center of the luggage area. I swallow. "Isn't that a little... dangerous?"
"Where you're going, you'll need all the help you can get."
He frowns at me.
"The tube contains a rocket motor and a cable spool bolted to the chassis. The airbags in the wheel hubs blow when the accelerometer figures you've hit apogee, if you haven't already used them in amphibious pursuit mode. Whatever you do, don't push that button while you're in a tunnel or undercover."
I glance up at the concrete roof of the car park and shudder.
"The airbags are securely fastened. If you land on water, you can just drive away."
He notices my fixed, skeptical stare and pats the rocket tube.
"It's perfectly safe. They've been using these on helicopter gunships for nearly 5 years.